Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is Sechus for Fu Shleima for Shalom Babracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubis Daf Pei, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud by the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi if somebody goes and spends money on the Nichsi Malug, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, the Nichsi Malug is the assets that the wife brings into the marriage, and the halacha with those assets is that the asset remains the property of the wife, but the payris, the income from those assets, it's a field that produces fruit, the payris, the fruit from that, from those assets. If it's a field, if it's an apartment, if it's a house, that there's rent collected from the house, all of those are considered payris, go to the husband. So it says the Mishnah, the husband invested money into these assets, and now this couple is getting divorced, and the husband wants back the money that he spent on those assets. So the halacha is hoitzi harbe, whether he had spent much on these assets, v'achol kima, but he only recognized very little payris, or kima, if he invested very little in these assets, v'achol harbe, and he was able to extract from these assets many payris. The halacha is masha hoitzi hoitzi or masha achal achal. Whatever he spent was spent with the intention that he will get a return on his investment, and therefore the halacha is that he's not entitled to any reimbursement. However, im hoitzi, if he invested into these assets v'loy achal, then he didn't eat, they didn't take anything. Yishama kama hoitzi, then he should swear how much he invested. V'yitol, get reimbursed. Why is the halacha that if he invested, but he took profit out, payris out, he's not allowed to collect back his investment, even though, as we just explained, his investment might have been much more than he spent? Explains the Ritva, because there is an assumption that he's meichel, that he forgives whatever he put into the, whatever investment he made, because he was assuming to get payris. But it says the Ritva, then what will be the halacha if he explicitly stipulates, presumably that he knew that this marriage may not last, and he stipulates that he's not prepared to spend more on this asset than he's going to be take the halacha, than he's going to extract? So then says the Ritva, the halacha is that he swears how much he invested, and he's able to recoup that investment. However, the Shita quotes the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina, the fact that he ate, the fact that he took payris out of this property and he ate from those payris, the halacha is that he's not entitled to get reimbursed. The Rambam says that this is halacha by Nichsei Milug. But we also know that a husband has Nichsei Tzon Barzel. The halach of Nechse Tzoyim Basel is that these assets are brought into the marriage. They're written onto the husband's name, but what's written in, that if the marriage will terminate, whatever the value is, the halach is, that's how much, whatever it was at the time of marriage, whatever was assessed at the time of marriage, she will get that no matter what it's worth now. So says the Rambam, given that the Nechse Tzoyim Basel are considered like his assets, even though he's obligated to pay their value, but if they go up in value, he is the one that is going to realize that profit. So says the Rambam that in that case, it's under all circumstances, he does not get back how much he invested. He doesn't make a difference. He won't get back his investment under any circumstances. The Agash Asri says that the halacha is that we learned that if he takes peiros, the halacha is that he's not entitled to get back his investment. Says the Hagash Ashri, it doesn't make a difference if the investment is a significant investment, it's noticeable investment, or not a noticeable investment. The halacha is under all circumstances, he's not entitled to get back his investment. Says the Gemara, Kama Kima. The Mishnah said that if he took any payers from the field, he's not entitled to get back his investment. And the Mishnah used the word Kima, even he took out a small amount. Asked him, what is the definition of Kima? Omar of Asi, Afila Groigris Achas, he took out one dried fig. That's already considered that he took out some payers, and he's not entitled to get reimbursed for his investment. However, says the Gemara, V'usha Achla Derech Kavod, that he ate that Derech Kavod. That means, says the Shita Mekabetzes, that he didn't eat it in the middle of the street. He didn't eat it as if he was just taking something that didn't belong to him, but he ate it on his table, even though normally, obviously, a person eats on his table much more than just one dried fig. If he ate it, b'derech kavod, it's considered that he ate. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Bar Yevyani, afilu shigri d'tami. Even if he just took some dates that were, some figs that was pressed together, that's considered enough that he took out from his investment, and it's considered that he's not entitled to get back, that he's not entitled, he took out the eights on Paris, as he's not entitled to claim any investment. Another explanation, another example, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Mordechai. If on the Nichsim Malug that his wife brought into the marriage, he built a building, that also is considered that he benefited from the Nichsim Malug, and he's not entitled to get back his investment. But Rabbi, chufts the tamri. After they used to make date beer, and after they have the dates, they have left over the residue that they didn't use for beer. What will be the halacha? Mai, if he ate that from the field, is that considered as if he ate peiros and he's no longer entitled to get back investment or not? And the Gemara remains with a taiku. Says the Gemara, Loy Ach will derech kavod. If the husband did not eat the peiros derech kavod, mai, what is the amount that he has to eat? You know, as the Gemara is saying, it's difficult to assume that if he ate a tremendous amount of peiros, he just happened not to eat them derech kavod, so he's always entitled to get back his investment. And therefore, asked the Gemara, Loy Ach will derech kavod, he ate this fruit, the peiros, not derech kavod, but how much mai, how much does he have to eat that it should be considered that he ate peiros and he's not entitled to get back his investment? Amar Ula, pligi by trei marovim and marova, it's the subject of a machlokes of amroim and marova. Chad amar bekeser, if he ate the amount of an iser, chad amar if he ate kedinner, that's already considered that he ate enough peiros that no matter how he ate them, he's not entitled to back to get his peiros. Army dying in Pepadisa. Of Rabbi Yehuda Ovda, there was a situation where Rabbi Yehuda paskined the Chavila Ismairis, where a husband took bundles of wood from the property of his wife. And the question was, is that considered that he had Paris? He took those Chavila Ismairis to feed his animals, and it was considered as if he got Paris, and he's no longer entitled to get back his investment. Why, says the Gemara, did Rabbi Yehuda say this? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion. Dam Rabbi Yehuda ochlo, if somebody took, the question is, we know that the Gemara often in Masechta Bava Basra particularly teaches us that the halacha is that if somebody is on a property for 3 years and used the property, and the owner of the property never was meicha, never protested, what are you doing on my property? The halacha is that he has a chazaka. And therefore, even if the original owner is going to come and claim, bring proof that this property is yours, bring proof that you bought this property, he could say the fact that I was on this property all these years and you never protested, the halacha is, it's a proof that I own this property. Now the question is, what's the halacha if we know that the first 3 years that fruit grows, they're arla. And arla fruit may not be eaten. And the question is if somebody ate arla fruit. And the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara, that's not a situation where all 3 years were arla. Two of the first year that he was on the property, the fruit was still arla. But the next 2 years were no longer arla. Or one of the years that he ate from the property was Shemitah. And we know that the Shemitah year is all the peiros ahefker, the klayim, of the peiros that he ate were klayim. The halacha is harezu chazaka. It's still considered valid to be considered a that he has a chazaka, even though the person could presumably argue that what you ate is really not considered valid, because the halacha is that you now that these were fruit that you weren't allowed to eat. It was Shemitah, it was Arla, it was Klayim. Still, the halacha is any eating without the owner protesting is considered good enough to make a chazaka. Here too, even though all he gave to the field was just, all he took from the field were just chavilei zmiris, which he gave to the animal, which he gave to his animal, it's enough to establish that it's considered that he took peiros. But says the Gemara, Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Chizda, Hamoitze Tzos on Chizda Ishta Ektanam. The halacha is that midaraisa, a father can marry off his daughter, and the Kedushin are a full-fledged Kedushin. However, a girl that doesn't have a father, and as we always explain in Ashurim, the simple example is that unfortunately she doesn't have a father, she's a Yosaima, or even if she, Baruch Hashem, has a father, but her father had married her off, and she got divorced, and she's still a ketana. So she is considered, as far as the halacha we're going to learn now, a yosoima b'chaya av. So in the second case, even if it's a father who marries her off, in the first case of her mother or brothers marry her off, the kedusha are only kedusha drabonin, and since the kedusha are only kedusha drabonin, she has a right to be man, to do miun. And as long as she's not yet a gedola, she could walk out of the marriage. Another halacha that we need to know to learn the next Gemara is if somebody worked on somebody else's field without the consent of his owners. The halacha is that even though I worked on your field without your permission, the halacha is that I am entitled to retrieve some of my investment. Of course, I am always in a weaker position since I didn't get permission to do it, but I am entitled to get some return on my investment. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chizda, Hamotzi Tzos on Nechsa Ishta Ektana. Somebody spent money on his wife's property, but his wife is a ketana. So he put money into his wife's Nechsa Milug. So now the question is, we've been learning throughout our shir that if somebody puts money into the Nechsa Milug, sometimes he's entitled to get back his investment, and sometimes he isn't. Says the Gemara, if somebody invested into his wife, who's a ketana, with a kedusha, as we just described, where only kedusha the Rabbanon, the halacha will be treated k'maytzi al nechsei achadami. The halacha treats it as if I'm putting investment in somebody else's property without his permission. My tama, why is that the halacha? Why is this different than what we've been learning throughout our shir? That as soon as the husband invested into the property, but he ate peiros, he's not entitled to get back his investment. Answers the Gemara of the Barabbanon. A husband who's married to a wife who's a ketana knows that his wife at any moment could be a man and walk out. And therefore, that's going to prevent him from treating the property properly and working on it properly because he knows he could lose it at any moment. And therefore, even though the halacha normally is that, as we've been learning, if you put money in and you take peiros, you're not entitled to get back your investment. Here, Chazal were treated differently. Chazal recognized that the husband may not otherwise treat the property as it should be, and therefore he's entitled to get back his investment. Now, says the Gemara, Hayi itasa, the nafla abba mezuzah bechazoi. There was a woman who inherited 400 zuz in a place that was called bechazor. Ozel gavra, her husband went, apik sheis meya, he spent 600 zuz for icy and he abba meya to bring back this $400. By the tekasi, as he was traveling, itzroklei chad zuzah, he was short some cash, so he took out a zuz. He took out one zuz from these 400 zuz. And now he comes and he wants to get back his investment. Asla kameder of Ami, that he spent money to bring this woman's, his wife's money. Amalei masha hoitzi hoitzi. Whatever he spent the masha ochel ochel. He's not entitled to his investment because he took some payris. What are the payris? The zuz that he took. This halacha that we've been learning throughout our shir is only when somebody gets payrus from the property. That means, as we've been learning, there's a piece of property which is nechsim malug, and the husband is taking from that nechsim malug. So even though he invested money, we don't care how much he invested, he got something back. He got a return on his investment. He took the payri. Aval. But in this case, he didn't get payrus, he just took from the principal. And therefore, it's considered just an expense. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, he's treated like an individual who spent money on his wife's nechse milug, and he didn't. And if he spent money on his wife's nechse milug, that we learned in the Mishnah, yishavol ve'ein anoytel. He should swear how much he spent, and after he swears how much he spent, then that's what he'll get reimbursed. We learned in the Mishnah, as we just said, that if the husband did not take out any payris, the halacha is yishava kama hoitzi, he swears how much he spent, v'inatel. Says the Gemara, Amar Avasi, v'ush yesh k'shvach k'negre tzor. The halacha is when the expense and the investment are equal. That's when he has to swear. Says the Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa. What did Rav Asi mean by saying this statement? This, as the Rishonim explains, as Rashi explains, Rav Asi could have meant two things. He could mean that the only time that he has to swear is when the investment is equal to the payris. But if the payris, the shvach, are more than the investment, he doesn't need to swear. Or we could understand Rav Asi that he only is entitled to expense if it equals the profit. But let's say he spent much investment and the payris don't equal that investment, he never is going to be entitled to more than than the profit. So again, ask the Gemara, what did Rav Asi mean? Amar Abaya. Abaya says, what he meant to say was like this. Im ha-yishvacha yeser ha-yitzor, if the profit was more than the expense, noitel ha-yitzor b'lo shvua, then there's no need for a shvua, because he's leaving profit on the table. But if not, then he would have to swear. So in other words, according to this Abaya's understanding, Rav Asi was coming to be lenient with the husband, that the only time he has to swear is when there's no profit left on the table. But if there's profit left on the table, he wouldn't need to swear. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, we know that people, of course, are always reluctant to swear. So what this husband could do is like this. Imken asa l'rumi. He could say he knows what the profit was, and he knows that if he says that his expense was less than the profit, he wouldn't have to swear. So no matter what the expense really was or wasn't, he'll always make sure to say that the expense was less than the profit, and he'll save himself from needing to make a shvua. And therefore, since Rava says that's an untenable situation, El Amar Rava, Im Hoysoy Tzor Yuser El Shvach, if the expense is greater than the profit, Ein Lo El Hoytzor Shishvach, he's never going to be reimbursed more than the value of the profit. And even that is always b'shvua. Ask the Gemara, Ibailahu, Baal Shahari Arisan Tachtav. If a husband took sharecroppers. And the sharecroppers, we know the way they got paid, is they got a portion, a percentage of what the, of the payers. Mahu. How do we look at that? Do we look at that to the Baal Nochus? They are considered extension of the husband, historically Baal, and therefore that the halacha is that if they, if the husband takes profit, istalkelhu, because they're coming in his place. And therefore, if the husband would lose his share, that means he divorced his wife, they won't get their share either. They're not, it's not, they're not particular that they're working for the husband or for the wife. They're working to better the property. And therefore, the property is here no matter what. And they're entitled to what they're entitled to. Maskler Rav Bachana, Maishna, why is this different in a case that we spoke about a moment ago? If I work on somebody else's field without permission, Shamaloi, that we evaluate how much that I do for the benefit of the field, we look at the profit and we look at the expense. So here too, they shall at least get something. Why do we say they get nothing? Hasam, says the Gemara, Leka Inish Tatarach. The two cases are not the same. If I see a property that's being ignored, and I went and I did a favor for the person who owns the property, and I worked on it, I'm entitled to something. Yes, I'm entitled to less than maybe normally I would claim, because I did it without getting permission, but I am entitled. And since I'm entitled, that's why the halacha says I should get something. But here, if I won't work, there's still somebody else that will work on the field. Iklabal the tarach. And therefore, that reason should not be considered like an individual who helped somebody else on their property, that they're always entitled to something. So ask the Gemara, my havalah, what is going to be the halacha if the husband brought a reason to the sada, to the Nichse Malug, and he divorced the wife, and now they're coming to claim their pay. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, Chazinin, Ibalas Harahu, if the husband is a person that could work in a field, so then the husband could have done anything. And therefore, istalakle baal, istalakle arisim. These arisim cannot say to the woman who is the owner of these Nichse Malug, we did you a favor. Because she says, you didn't do me a favor, because if you wouldn't have been here, my husband would have done it. However, if Baal Lava Arasu, the husband is not a person who could work on the field, so she needs these Arisim to work on the field, therefore Aral Arisa Kaimi, and she owes the Arisim to be their pay. Ibailhu, Baal Shemacha Karkla Paris, a husband that sold the Nichse Malug the Paris. He says they sold the Paris of the Nichse Malug, because just like he's entitled to Nichse Malug, he sold the payers of the Nichse Malug. Says the Shita, if the point of our Gemara is that, as we're learning, that he sold the payers, so why does the Gemara use the word the words Baal Shemacha Karkula Paris? It should have said Baal Shemacha Paris. So he says, because if he only sold the payers is not something you could sell yet, because the payers are a davish lebalaylam, and as we often say, one can't sell a davish lebalaylam. That's why to make this sale a halachically valid sale, there has to be the karka is included in the sale. But he's saying I'm only selling the karka, the payers, because that's all he can sell, because that's all he's entitled to. Mao, mi aminin. My Dakani Akli, he sold what he's entitled to. He's entitled to the payers, and he has a right to sell those payers. Adama Kita Kinurabon Paris Labal. What is Pshat that we often have been discussing, that the husband gets the payers of the Nichse Malug? That's Mishum Revach Bayis. The Chazal wanted that there should be plenty of fruit in the home. And therefore, if the payers go to the husband, there'll be payers in the home for the couple to have. Avil Zbune, that he should be allowed to go and sell them off, that isn't included in the Takonis Chachamim. Yudim Amarem Mishmeid Rava Masha Asui, that the sale is valid. Rapapa Mishmeid Rava Loyosav Loy Klum, the sale is not valid. Amra Papa Hadi Yehudma Barema. This that we're quoting of Yehudma Barema, that he says that the sale is valid, La Beferish Itma, El Mechlala Itma. We only learn it through a story. And as we often explain, what's the difference if it's through a story? So explain the Rishonim. If it's explicit, it's explicit that he said that that is the halacha. But if it's only learned through a story, you maybe misunderstood the story. And if you maybe if you misunderstood the story, then the halacha may not be the way you're saying the halacha is. It says the Gemara, what was the story? There was a woman who brought into marriage two shvachos, two maids as nichsim melug. Ozel gavra v'nitasa v'nosav itasa chrita. And the husband went and married a second wife, v'ayla chad minayu. And he took one of the servants that were brought to him, one of the maids that were given to him as nichsim melug, to work for the second wife. Asale kamei derava. So the first wife who had brought these two maids into the marriage comes to Rava with a din Torah and says, I brought this maid, and now this maid is working for my tzara, for the other wife. Says the Gemara Tzavcha, this first wife who brought this maid into the marriage was complaining, was protesting, v'lesh lo yashgaba. And Rava ignored her. Man dechaza, somebody who saw this tire situation, he assumed that the reason for this was because the husband has a right to do what he wants. And therefore, since they were his nichsim melug, he had a right to do whatever he want. Says the Mar Velohi, but that was, and that's why Yehuda Mamarem said, it's right that he could do whatever he wants with the nichsim melug. Says the Gemara, that was Yehuda Mamarem misunderstood the story. Velohi, Mishim Ravach Beisei. What's the point of the nichsim melug? As we said on the top of the Amud, there should be for the home enough. For ha, karavach, and the home benefited. And since the home benefits because all the wives live together and the family lives together. So it's not that the first wife is not going to have any benefit, not have any benefit. And that's why the halacha is the sale is a sale. But could be if he just sold it off the payers to an outsider, we don't know what the halacha would be. But says the Gemara, but the halacha indeed is, Baal Shemacha Karkel payers, if a husband sold off the payers of the nichsei melug, lo yosef lo klum. My tama, what is the reason? Abai amar chashin hashem atachsev. We're worried that the person who bought those payers won't properly work on the field because he knows that this is not something that's going to remain with him long term. Because if the marriage ends, he's going to have to give over that property. So he's going to not properly attend to this field. Rava says the reason is Mishum Revach Beisei. The reason is that there should be enough fruit for the home. And if somebody else is going to get those payers, the home of this woman won't get these payers. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what is the halachic nafkamina between Rav and Abaya? Ikavanaya Arad Makarv Lamasa. That the property is near the city. If the concern is that the buyer will not properly attend to the property, here we don't have to worry about it because the husband and the wife will be supervising to make sure that he's not abusing the property. If the vart is, however, revach beisei, that there should be enough for the home, it doesn't make a difference. Inami bal arasu. If there's a husband who's keeping a decent amount of payers. So if the concern is revach beisei, there is no concern of revach beisei. The husband is bringing proper payers into the home. If the concern is that the property is not being properly supervised, that concern is there. Inami, the halacha is zuzi v'kav d'abeiska, that the husband sold the property for cash, sold the payers for cash, and he's going to do business. So if the vart is that there should be revach beisei, there's going to be revach beisei from all of the invest from the return on this investment that the husband's getting with the money that he received for selling the payers. If the concern is that the property will not be treated properly by the buyer, that remains the same. Says the Mishnah Shemeres Yavim Nafilah Nechasim. The halacha is that if a husband died without children, the Amona is a Shemeres Yavim, and while she's a Shemeres Yavim, the Nechasim, she inherited Nechasim. And even though we learned in the Mishnah, on Daf Ayin Ches Amon Aleph, a Machloikus Beis Shavim Beis Hillel, if while a woman is a Rusa, she gets assets, is she allowed to sell them or not? Even though we had a machlokes there, according to Beis Shammai, she may, according to Beis Hillel, she may not. Here, Moinu Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Shemecheres V'Nesenes V'Kayim. Everybody agrees that she may not. She may sell it. And the reason, explained the Rishonim, is an Arusa, under all things being equal, will ultimately become a Nesua. And since she's ultimately going to become a Nesua, that's why Beis Hillel says she already may not sell off those assets. Whereas a Shemeres Yavam, there's no guarantee that she's going to end up marrying this man, and therefore the halacha is very different. Mesa, if a woman dies while she was a Shemeres Yavam, and she has these Nechasim, So the question is, Mayasa B'Ksubasa, what is going to be the halacha with her ksuba, with the nechsi malug, with the nechsi tzoyim barzel? Ksuba means the nechsi tzoyim barzel. What's going to be the status of the nechsi malug? Beshama Imrim, when we speak about the nechsi malug, yichalku yorsha balam yorsha av. The husband's yorshim, her deceased husband's yorshim, and her yorshim divided equally. Because no one is more muchzik in it than the other. Beis Hillel's psak is as follows. Nechasim b'cheskason, the nechsei tzoyim barzel, are in the control of the person who had it till now. Ksuba, and the ksuba that she's entitled to, b'cheskos yorshe abal. In other words, Beis Hillel says we always look at who's muchzik. Who's holding on currently to these assets. And since they're holding on to the assets, the nechsei tzoyim barzel, and to the ksuba that he has to pay her, they don't have to pay it to the wife's yarshim. However, the nechsei malug are considered her assets, and therefore the becheskes yarshi av. It's interesting, the Rishonim ask, why is becheskes yarshi av? It should really say becheskes yarshi ha'isha. So the Rishonim say, since we need to identify who are her yorshim, that's why we say ho'av, because her father is her yorish. Hanicha achiv mav. Mishnah tells us another case where her first husband passed away and he left over money. And the halacha is that the brother who does yibum becomes the yorish of all of the cash of the brother who passed away. However, everything that he owned is meshubed to ksuba. So the halacha is, what should be done with this money? Yilakach ben karka, property should be bought, v'oichel peiris, and the yavam should eat the peiris. They should be treated like nechsim elog. However, if he left over peiris at telushim in a karka, if the first brother who died left over payers that are disconnected, they too are treated like the metamplin that we just mentioned, and the halacha is yilakach ben karka v'oichel peiris. However, if he left over payers that are mechubar b'karka, payers that are still connected to the ground, the halacha is amar meir. The halacha is that anything that like that is meshubah to the ksuba. Shaman, my son, we have to evaluate how much this property is yofim b'payers, is valued with the payers on it, versus kamein yofin beloy peiris, what it's worth without these peiris, for maestris, and the difference, yilakach ben karka, we buy a piece of property, that property is meshuba to the ksuba, v'oichel peiris, and the husband, the yavam, who's currently the husband, will eat the peiris, the tree like nechsim elog. V'chamayim peiris and mechabarim karka, any peiris that are still attached to the ground are shaloi, they're considered his. They're considered like karka, and the karka that the brother left over goes to this brother. So too do these peiris, and the peiris that are talushim in the karka, kala kaidim zakben. Whoever gets them first owns them. That means kadim hu. If the yavim gets a hold, seizes them zakhem, they're his because metamflin we learned many times, are not meshubah to the ksuba, and therefore he could take them free and clear, kadmehi, but if she takes it, so that indeed the halacha is that it is a valid seizure, but anything, and they become hers, but they're treated like nichsei milug. And nichsei milug, the halacha is, yilakach ben kaku, should buy property with it, and the husband, the yavam, v'oichel peiros. Kanso, once the yavam marries the yavama, harei kishtel chaldova, she's treated like a full-fledged wife. However, there's one exception. Vachtei ksubas al nichsei baal harishon. The halacha is that a husband who marries a wife, as is the primary subject of this mesechta, the halacha is he has to provide a ksuba. Here, he wasn't the husband that married her. Min ha-shamayim iknula. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah made him marry her because of the mitzvah of Yibum. And therefore, the ksuba payment is taken from the nechasim of the first husband. But so the husband should not say. So now all of the assets, besides Mepatlin, but all the assets, certainly real estate, that the first brother left over, are tied up, mortgaged to Aksuba. And the Yavam obviously is upset with that because he can't have access to those assets. So says the Mishnah, Lo Yoimelah, the Yom may not say to her, Harei Ksubasach Menachas Al Shulchan, I'm setting aside money on the Chasim for Yiksuba, so that I can be able to get control of all those assets. El Kol Nechasam Achroin L'Ksubasach. Everything that she has is tied up, everything that he has is tied up for Ksuba. And the reason is that the wife is concerned that if she has so much available for a ksuba, she's not ready to accept that just one piece of property will be set aside for a ksuba. The Cain, says the Mishnah, L'yayim el adam l'ishtar rei ksubas ha-menach al shochen, a husband may not do either the same. They should say, that I'm setting aside assets for your ksuba, rather the halach is, kol nechas achroim ksubasai. Gershop, if the Yavam divorces the Yavamta, and Laila Ksuba, then she's entitled to the Ksuba. Well, the Gemara will explain what that means. Her Zira, but let's say after he divorces, the halach is they get a reiki called a Noshim, and Laila Ksuba Vad. The halach is that if a husband divorces a wife, and then the Yavama got divorced from the Yavam, and then when they get remarried, so then the halacha is that he doesn't have to give her a new ksuba, but he could just refresh the original ksuba that was in existence.